From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia reminds US and China not to trap the country in their rivalry. Indonesian president asked for qualified democracy to be maintained in the regional heads election or Pilkada. Now the news in details. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi cautions the United States and China on Tuesday not to entangle her country in their regional struggle for influence, telling the two superpowers, "We don't want to get trapped by this rivalry." Minister Retno, the chief diplomatic envoy for Southeast Asia's largest country, made the comment in an interview with Reuters ahead of a series of key meetings of regional foreign ministers this week, some of which will include their U.S. and China counterparts. Military activity in the South China Sea has increased this year alongside hostile rhetoric and antagonistic policy moves from China and the United States, raising concerns among some Southeast Asian states that the risk of armed conflict is rising. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi have ratcheted up their diplomacy in the region in an effort to persuade members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, to be more sympathetic to their position. As well as Indonesia, ASEAN comprises 9 other states: Vietnam, the Philippines, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Myanmar, Cambodia, Laos, and Brunei Darussalam. Minister Retno further said ASEAN must remain steadfastly neutral and united. The Indonesian government continues to strive for all people to be free from illiteracy. This was conveyed by Minister of Education and Culture Nadiem Makarim when delivering his remarks at the 55th International Literacy Day virtually in Jakarta on Tuesday. He said the Ministry of Education and Culture has carried out various strategies to solve illiteracy in Indonesia.
Berbagai strategi penuntasan buta aksara pun dilakukan.
Various illiteracy eradication strategies have been carried out, including updating illiteracy data, expanding literacy education program services, developing synergies in efforts to eliminate illiteracy and maintaining literacy skills of citizens, as well as accelerating program service innovation in the most illiterate areas. Minister Nadiem Makarim said that his ministry is working hard to fight for inclusive education, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. He said there are lessons that can be taken from this pandemic. According to the minister, when the COVID-19 pandemic is over, the Indonesian people will come out to be the winner who continue to have hopes and aspiration to eradicate illiteracy. In commemoration of the 55th International Literacy Day, Indonesia carries the national theme, Learning Literacy in the COVID-19 Pandemic, a momentum of paradigm shift. Simultaneous regional head elections Pilkada 2020 in Indonesia must be held. President Joko Widodo, when giving an introduction to the limited meeting via a video conference on the continuation of the discussion on the preparation for the implementation of the simultaneous Pilkada from the Merdeka Palace Jakarta on Tuesday said that the implementation of Pilkada must continue and cannot wait until the pandemic ends. The president also asked, apart from enforcing health protocols, Pilkada must also maintain and improve the quality of democracy.
Selain taat dalam menjalankan protokol kesehatan,
apart from being serious about carrying out program activities, I ask the quality of democracy will be maintained. I want that even in a difficult position like the current situation, our democracy would be more mature.
Demokrasi kita semakin dewasa, demokrasi kita semakin matang.
The president also provided several directions related to the implementation of the simultaneous regional election. Among others, the Indonesian military TNI and the Indonesian police Polri must remain neutral. The head of state also reminded not to allow the use of certain language, narratives, and symbols that endangered the unity and integrity of society. For the success of the Pilkada, which was held under new normal condition, the president asked Pilkada organizers to work hard to produce a quality election process. The head of state also hopes for support from religious leaders, traditional leaders, community leaders, activists, and academicians in the regions. The 2020 simultaneous regional head election will be held on December 9, 2020. The Defense Ministry is set to renegotiate funding for a joint development project for jet fighters with South Korea following payment issues on Indonesia's part. Ministry spokesperson Dhanil Anzar Simanjuntak said in a statement that the government will proceed to the next phase of renegotiation regarding the country's share of the bill for the development of the Korean Fighter Experiment Indonesia Fighter Experiment KFX-IFX. Daniel also said that South Korea had yet to agree on Indonesia's previously stated terms, which entailed reducing the latter's share of the development cost to 15% from 20%. South Korea had agreed to renegotiation during President Joko Widodo's visit to the country in 2018. But required them to be completed within a year. The fifth prototype was expected to be produced at state-owned aircraft maker PT Dirgantara Indonesia in Bandung. Indonesia initially aimed to make the jet fighters operational by 2025. Indonesia had sought renegotiation because, according to the previous provisions, Jakarta would have had to spend hundreds of trillions of rupiah on the project. This news comes to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. President Donald Trump raises again the idea of wanting to separate the U.S. economy from China. In the run-up to the United States presidential election, President Donald Trump again raises the idea to separate the economies of the United States and China, which is also known as decoupling. According to Donald Trump, the United States would not lose money if the world's two largest economies stop doing business.
So when you mention the word decouple, it's an interesting word. So we lose billions of dollars, and if we didn't do business with them, we wouldn't lose billions of dollars. It's called decoupling, so you'll start thinking about it.
At the Labor Day press conference at the White House on Monday, President Donald Trump promised that in his administration's future, he will ban federal contracts with companies that do outsourcing to China and ask Beijing accountable for allowing the coronavirus COVID-19, which started in China, to spread to the whole world. Responding Trump's idea, China's foreign ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian considered that Trump's idea or plan does not only violate international trade rules, but also harms the interests of the United States itself. Zhao Lijian urged United States to stop doing misconceptions. It does not only violate the rules of international trade and destroy the chain of global industry and supply values, but also damage the U.S. national importance and image. We urge the U.S. to stop doing misconceptions. In June, U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the separation of the U.S. and Chinese economies will occur if U.S. companies are not allowed to compete fairly and equally in the Chinese economy. Other officials and analysts said that economy of the two countries are closely connected, so that such a move is impractical, but Washington will continue to pressure Beijing to equalize. Siberia's Vector Virology Institute on Tuesday completed early-stage human trials known as Phase 2 of a second potential Russian vaccine against COVID-19. The state consumer safety watchdog was cited by the Interfax news agency saying Russia registered its first vaccine candidates, developed by Moscow's Gamaleya Institute in August. Late-stage trials of the vaccine due to involved 40,000 participants were launched last week. Human trials of the second potential COVID-19 vaccine, a peptide-based jab, began on July 27 and involved a group of 100 volunteers. Interfax cited watchdogs Rospotrebnadzor as saying, all 100 volunteers were vaccinated with two doses and have completed a 23-day monitoring period in hospital. The volunteers are feeling good. Results are due to be published on September 30th, Interfax said. The dollar held its gains on Wednesday as the stock market slides spilled over into selling of riskier currencies and an oil slump waved on commodity currencies, while fresh Brexit turmoil pushed the pounds to a six-week low. The greenback say by one-month high against a basket of rivals and edge up against the pound, euro and the kiwi. In early trade, this safe haven Japanese yen rose to one-week peak of 105.83 per dollar as investors look at jittery equity markets to set the tone. Commonwealth Bank of Australia's head of international economics, Joe Capurso, said that U.S. equity futures will likely to be a guide to currencies today. According to Capurso, the more equity future falls, the larger the strength in the dollar and the yen, with the European Central Bank meeting on Thursday, a possible driver are even more dollar gains. A Northern Ireland government minister has said a new bill to amend the UK's Brexit deal with the European Union will break international law. Concerns had been raised about legislation being brought forward which could change parts of the withdrawal agreement negotiations last year. Nuka Kusumawati has the details. Downing Street said it would only make minor clarifications in extremely specific areas, but it worried some in Brussels and Westminster that it could see the government try to change the withdrawal agreement, which became international law when the UK left the European Union in January. A government bill promised by UK's Prime Minister Boris Johnson that will change the UK's Brexit deal with the European Union will break international law, according to one cabinet minister. The Northern Ireland Secretary Brandon Lewis admitted the new legislation would go against the treaty in a specific and limited way.
I would say to my honourable friend that yes, this does break international law in a very specific and limited way. We are taking the power to disapply the EU law concept of direct effect required by Article 4 in a certain very tightly defined circumstance. And I would say to my honourable friend, we are determined to ensure we are delivering on the agreement we have in the protocol, and our leading priority is to do that through the negotiations and through the joint committee work. The clauses will be in the bill tomorrow.
On the same day, former Prime Minister Theresa May has warned the changes could damage trust in the UK over future trade deals. The latest round of trade negotiations between Britain and the European Union started on Tuesday, September 8.
The government is now changing the operation of that agreement. Given that, how can the government reassure future international partners that the UK can be trusted to abide by the legal obligations of the agreements it signs?
Meanwhile, Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer condemned the bill and accused number 10 of the bill of reopening old arguments that had been settled, saying the focus should be on getting a trade deal done with the European Union.
At the moment, what the government's doing, which in my view is wrong, is reopening old arguments that have been settled. A deal is there to be had. Let's negotiate. Let's get that deal. That's what the public want. And move on.
The number 10 bill revealed on Monday that it would be introducing a new UK internal market bill that could affect post-Brexit customs and trade rules in Northern Ireland. The next of the new bill will not be published until Wednesday, although the government has confirmed it will deal with the issue of the so-called Northern Ireland Protocol, an element of the withdrawal agreement designed to prevent a hard border returning to the island of Ireland after Brexit. the practicalities of the protocol, which will deal with issues of state aid, financial support given to businesses by governments, and whether there needs to be customs checks on goods, is still being negotiated by a joint UK and European Union committee. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Selamat siang, Radio Republic Indonesia. I'm Wan Su Kim, Director of International Relations of KBS Korea. On behalf of KBS, I'd like to express my heartfelt congratulations on the 75th anniversary of RRI. RRI and KBS have a long history of cooperation on variety international activities, especially at the ABU, Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union. I can easily find our future relation in your slogan, "Sekali Dudara, Tetap Dudara." Yes, I'm sure, once we are friends, we will always be a good friends. Once again, congratulations on your 75th anniversary. My colleagues and I wish RRI all the best, great success in the future. Terima kasih.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitled Addressing Turkish-Greek Disputes. Relations between the two neighboring countries, namely Greece and Turkey, have recently deteriorated. The leaders of the two countries even begun to discuss the deployment of troops to face each other. Facing Turkey's military might, Greece said it would strengthen its military with new weapons, increasing troops, and developing its defense industry. Greece also mentioned French, which it said would cooperate. As stated by government spokesman Stelios Petsas, Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis will announce plans to increase the country's military strength in his annual economic address this weekend. Greek mass media reported that the Greek government is likely to buy French fighter jets, Rafale, and a frigate. Greece's tensions with Turkey was triggered by a dispute over the boundary of the East Mediterranean Sea, which has a lot of hydrocarbon content. The Turkish government carried out military maneuvers in the disputed region and issued a tense discourse following an agreement between Greece and Egypt over the East Mediterranean. The European Union, as said by Secretary-General Giuseppe Tranholm Mikkelsen, will try to help overcome tensions between the two countries that are members of the European Union. From an economic point of view, the discourse of fighting against Turkey is likely to further aggravate Greece's economic condition. Apart from experiencing the burden of having to strengthen the economy, the Greek government is also trying to overcome various problems due to the corona pandemic. This condition also seems to be used by Turkey to pressure Greece to enter into negotiations. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has previously warned Greece to discuss resolving territorial disputes in the East Mediterranean region. In fact, it is still open for the two governments to hold talks and find a solution. It is hoped that the two countries will not repeat history. At the beginning of the 20th century, after the First World War, the two of them fought with each other's strength. This cannot be repeated, because war everywhere always costs lives, including innocent people and property, something no one wants. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
We meet again in Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. We start from a historical event on September 9, 1948. The first National Sports Week opened in Surakarta. Indonesia's first National Sports Week was held in Surakarta, Central Java. The National Sports Week was opened on September 9 and lasted until September 12, 1948. September 9 is then celebrated annually as National Sports Day. The national sports event was attended by around 600 athletes who competed in 9 sports, competing for 108 medals. After being formed in 1946, the Indonesian Sports Association, PORI, was assisted by the Indonesian Olympic Committee, KORI, which had been merged and currently became KONI, preparing Indonesian athletes to take part in the Summer Olympics in London in 1948. Global recognition of independence and Indonesian sovereignty that was not yet acquired at that time constituted a major obstacle in effort to participate in London Summer Olympics. The failure of the Indonesian delegation to the Olympics led the conference agreed to hold the National Sport Week. Next turn to a story on September 9, 2013, the ASEAN Football Federation AFF U19 Youth Championship. The 2013 AFF U19 Youth Championship is the 10th edition of the AFF U19 Youth Championship, organized by the ASEAN Football Federation and held from September 9 to 22, 2013 in Indonesia. Australia, that originally in Group A, withdrew due to a lack of preparation. For the first time, Indonesia won the tournament after beating Vietnam on penalties. And with an incident of a car bomb exploded in front of the Australian Embassy in Jakarta on September 9, 2004. A car bomb exploded in front of the Australian Embassy at 10:30 Western Indonesia time in the Kuningan area, Jakarta, on September 9, 2004. 11 people were managed to identify. Among the victims who died were embassy security guards, visa applicants, embassy staff and residents who were in the vicinity of the scene when the bomb exploded. No Australian citizens died in this incident. Several buildings around the scene were also damaged. The Indonesian police suspect that the Jamaah Islamiyah terrorist group was behind the bomb explosion. That was Today in History.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here's today's My Indonesia, which is titled Industry Ministry Holds AMDES Design Competition. Industry Ministry of Indonesia kept encouraging innovation of village multipurpose mechanical equipment called AMDES. Besides fulfilling current market needs, it aims to boost competitiveness both in the domestic and global market. That was stated by Director General of Metal, Transportation and Electronics Industry Taufik Bawazir in Jakarta on Friday. Taufik further said, AMDES is a multi-purpose equipment that can help almost every job and mechanical needs of the village people. Currently, the domestic contents requirements, or TKDN, has reached more than 40% and has been produced in Indonesia. Some AMDES that have been invented can increase people's productivity, such as multi-purpose thresher, grain piller, rice polisher, coffee processor, power generator, water purifier, ice maker, banana post harvester, and ambulance feeder. Even some AMDES have the functions of water tank and firefighter that can be used to spray disinfectant to prevent the COVID-19 spread. According to Taufik Bawazir, the benefits of AMDES are felt by the people in many regions. This is a real implementation of developing Indonesia from the border area by strengthening villages and regions. And to boost more innovation of AMDES, the Industry Ministry, jointly with an AMDES producer, organized an AMDES design competition titled Industry Ministry's AMDES Digimods. Director of Maritime, Transportation and Defense Equipment Industry, Putu Juli Ardika, said, last year, the AMDES Digimods successfully attracted many participants. Some innovation had been made into real units. This year's competition is also themed Born to Inspire. The AMDES Digimods Born to Inspire is open from September the 4th until 28th, 2020. The winner will be announced during the Indonesia Modification Expo Hybrid event on October the 10th, 2020. And listener, that was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah harus mengemudikan siaran RRI sebagai alat perjuangan dan alat evolusi seluruh bangsa Indonesia. Dengan jiwa kebangsaan yang murni, hati yang bersih dan jujur, serta budi yang penuh kecintaan dan kesetiaan kepada tanah air dan bangsa.
Semua yang kami angkasa One RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti, patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila. Tribas setia landasan kerjanya, ampera tujuan utama, penuh pengabdian pada revolusi.
Greetings, I'm Kho Tien Chan, Acting Head of Radio Program, Radio Television Brunei, Negara Brunei Darussalam. I'm pleased to wish and congratulate Radio Republic Indonesia on their 75th anniversary. It is definitely a great milestone. Once again, congratulations and wishing Radio Republic Indonesia a happy 75th anniversary.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Labuan Cermin. Indonesia is indeed rich with a lot of charm. Besides its customs and culture, Indonesia also has attractive tourism objects which add the wealth of Indonesia on the equator. Kalimantan, one of the islands that is crossed by the equatorial line, also has extraordinary charm. This island, which has quite a large natural wealth, is one of the islands whose natural beauty must be enjoyed. A magical place that is quite unique here is Labuan Cermin. This place is a lake that has beautiful panoramas that makes anyone amazed. Labuan Cermin Lake is located in Labuan Kelambu Village in Biduk Biduk District, East Kalimantan, which can be reached by land transportation about 6 to 7 hours from the capital of Berau Regency, Tanjung Redep, East Kalimantan. Even though the trip is quite far, the fatigue will soon be relieved when you see the beautiful nature in Labuan, Jermin. Tourists must rent a boat from the dock with a boat rental price of 200 rupiahs for the round trip, and it will be cheaper if you come with a group. Arriving there, you are guaranteed to be amazed with the beauty of this lake. Labuan Jermin Lake has very clear water, even the bottom of the lake in the form of sea sand can be seen clearly. Why is it called Labuan Jermin? This is because Labuan Jermin has a layer that makes sunlight reflect. This occurs because Labuan Jermin Lake has a salty taste that will be felt when we taste the water from the surface of the lake, while the water at the bottom of the lake feels tasteless. These two types of water make the lake have a dividing layer so that the water can reflect the light. It is common for the local people to call Labuan Jermin Lake with the nickname Danau Dua Rasa. Even though it looks shallow, you must be careful because the depth of this lake actually reaches 4 to 5 meters. The scenery around Labuan Jermin Lake is very calming. Surrounded by lush trees that make the atmosphere very shady, it is very appropriate to be a tourism destination for a moment to escape from the crowds that are often encountered every day. The local government has indeed developed Labuan Jermin as a tourism destination, starting by establishing this area as a conservation area or protected area, after which it will be completed with supporting facilities that will make it easier for visitors to enjoy the beauty of this lake, which has two flavors. While in Labuan Jermin, you can do swimming, snorkeling, and diving activities. When diving by using snorkeling goggles, you will see some fish swimming not far from the surface and some far below the bottom. The different taste of the water causes the fish to separate. This can make it easier to distinguish which types of freshwater fish and which are seawater fish. Before heading to Labuan Jermin, don't forget to prepare your own snorkeling equipment, or for those who forget to bring it, don't worry. At the pier where the crossing is located, there is a snorkeling equipment rental shop along with the buoys. For those who want to play water and relax on the tires, in Labuan Jermin rental car tires are available, even water boats that have transparent glass underneath. For lodging, you can rent biduk-biduk or small huts around the lake with various lodging prices, ranging from 100,000 rupiahs to 300,000 rupiahs per night. For backpackers, you can also stay at the residence houses around the Big Dipper. If you want to experience a new adventure for your vacation this time, Labuan Jermin can be your next vacation destination. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Di sini saat ku sapa dirimu.
Alright, listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to give you another information about interesting tourism that happens in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is cara memasak, or in English, how to cook. Next, I will give a sample conversation on cara memasak or how to cook.
Makan apa ya?
Bagaimana kalau mie? Apa kamu punya mie instan rebus?
Ada. Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya?
Tinggal merebusnya di air mendidih saja.
After listening to the conversation earlier, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, cara memasak. Cara memasak, which means how to cook. I will say the sentence twice and you can repeat after me. In the boarding house kitchen, Kevin asked Rama how to cook instant noodles. Makan apa? Makan apa? Which means, what shall we eat? Mie instan. Mie instan, which means instant noodles. Memasak. Memasak, which means to cook. Merebus. Merebus, which means to boil. Mendidih. Mendidih, which means boiling. Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Which means, do you know how to cook it? To ask how to cook certain food. The response that can be given to answer that question is direbus. Direbus, which means it is boiled. Digoreng. Digoreng, which means fried. Dipanggang. Dipanggang, which means roasted. Dikukus. Dikukus, which means steam or other cooking methods. Example, aku baru membeli telur. Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Aku baru membeli telur. Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Which means, I just bought eggs. Do you know how to cook it? Bagaimana kalau kita menggorengnya? Bagaimana kalau kita menggorengnya? Which means, shall we fry it? Another example. Apa kamu tahu cara memasak ayam? Apa kamu tahu cara memasak ayam? Which means, do you know how to cook chicken? Aku pernah memasak ayam. Bagaimana kalau kita memanggangnya? Aku pernah memasak ayam. Bagaimana kalau kita memanggangnya? Which means, I cooked chicken before. Shall we roast it? Apart from using the sentence, apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Which means, do you know how to cook it? As how to cook, you can also use bagaimana cara memasak or membuat. Bagaimana cara memasak or membuat, which means how to cook or make. If you are asked how to cook something and you don't know how, you can say, Maaf, aku tidak tahu caranya. Maaf, aku tidak tahu caranya, which means, sorry, I don't know how. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the sample conversation one more time.
Makan apa ya?
Bagaimana kalau mie? Apa kamu punya mie instan rebus?
Ada. Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya?
Tinggal merebusnya di air mendidih saja.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. I'm Yuka Kusumawati. We'll meet again tomorrow with another different topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa!
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I would like to present a song entitled Sajojo. Sajojo is the title of song and typical dance of Papua that is often performed in many traditional and cultural events as well as entertainment. Even the song Sajojo is used to accompany gymnastics, popularly known among people in Indonesia. Moreover, the song Sajojo is also used in the Indonesian tourism promotion events abroad. The song Sajojo tells about a girl who is very loved by her parents, and she is an idol of young men in the village. The young men try to attract the girl's attention and ask her for a walk. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Sajojo, sung by Martin Mailoa. Enjoy the song.
Sajojo, Sajojo, you mau nampo mi sebab panas samuna muna muna keke, samuna keke. Sajojo, Sajojo, you mau nampo.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.